The Parker Street Investigation, 1899, by Tim Wood. London in 1880. 3.5 million people live here in one of the richest capitals in the world. The British economy is booming and many people have made a great deal of money. Areas of London clearly show this wealth with wide tree-lined avenues and impressive squares and crescents. But there is a darker side to London where the poor live.
These streets are often so narrow that a person can step from the window of one house into that of its opposite neighbour, while the houses are piled so high, story upon story, that the light can scarcely penetrate into the court or alley that lies between. In this part of the city, there are neither sewers nor other drains, nor even privies belonging to the houses. In consequence, all refuse, garbage, and excrements of at least 50,000 persons are thrown into the gutters every night, so that a mass of dried filth and foul smells are created, which not only offend the sight and smell, but endanger the health of the inhabitants to the highest degree.
A few people, like the journalist you've just heard, took the trouble to go into the poor areas and see exactly how they lived. But most of the well-off people remained uninterested, claiming that anyone who was poor was simply too lazy or too drunk to work. The rich and the poor lived very different lives, and might well have come from different planets for all they knew of each other. During the 1880s and 1890s, the term East End began to be used to describe London's poorest area. Arthur Morrison was a curate there.
A shocking place, where slums hide human creeping things, where filthy men and women live on pennyworths of gin, where collars and clean shirts are decencies unknown, where every citizen wears a black eye, and none ever combs his hair.
But how many of London's population lived like this? Henry Hindman claimed that 25% of Londoners tried to survive in these conditions. But he was a socialist, and respectable men like Charles Booth believed that Hindman was simply trying to shock people. So in 1886, Booth set out to prove once and for all how the people in London's East End lived. Booth was a shipowner, a rich businessman, and an MP. He had a great deal of experience with facts and figures, and decided that what was needed was a very careful survey that would prove once and for all just how few of London's people lived in poverty. He took on 7 voluntary helpers, including myself, Mr. H.L. Smith, and Beatrice Webb.
So we began a house-to-house survey that was to last 20 years and become the most famous social survey of the 19th century. We wanted to find the answer to 2 questions. Firstly, how many people were poor, and secondly, why they were poor.
We join Booth well into his survey as he and Beatrice Webb arrive in Parker Street, one of the worst streets in London's East End.
Right, Beatrice, let me see your notes.
Here they are, Mr. Booth.
Now, number 2, yes. This is a 3-story house in poor condition. 9 rooms, no water supply, no toilet. The windows are missing and no front door. Is there anyone at home?
Who are you? What do you want?
I'd like you to answer some simple questions for me, madam.
Oh, well...
Yeah, it's all right. My name is Charles Booth, and this is Beatrice Webb.
Good morning.
You see, we're conducting a survey about the population of London. Now then, may I have your name?
Alice Carter.
You live in this house?
Yeah. Me and my husband live here. I've done for 11 years.
Does your husband work?
Oh, he did, sir. He's in prison now.
In prison? Why is that?
Well, sir, he was a fruit porter in Covent Garden Market, but the work ain't regular, see? He was often out of work and he got a bit too fond of the drink. Mm-hmm. He was a bit of a beast with a drink in him, sir. Hit me about something awful. Of course, he got into a fight one day and got nicked for it. 6 months hard labour.
How do you support yourself?
Well, like a lot of us round here, I take in washing.
How much do you earn from that?
I'll get 6 shillings a week when things are good. course, I can't always get the work. Especially in August when all the well-off people go on holiday.
What do you do then?
I sell flowers, sir. Buy them from the market. I can earn about 2 shillings a week that way.
How much is your rent?
A shilling a day, sir, for our one room. It's a scandal. Rooms are down downstairs, below ground. And there's no windows. Gets bloody when it rains.
Yeah.
And there's fungus on the walls I can't clean off. Rats get in all the time. I sleep on the floor on some straw since I sold the bed.
How is your rent collected?
I have to pay it every evening. That Bert Rose, he's the rent collector, sir. Comes round every night. I have to pay. If you don't pay, he kicks you out and he's a big, rough bloke.
Who else lives in the house?
Oh, every room's full. There's 3 families on the top floor with 1 room each. And an Irish family in the attic. Oh, I'll show you round.
Thank you.
It's a terrible existence, Mr. Booth. Are there many like that?
Hundreds. They just can't seem to get a regular income and so rely totally on casual work. Is it possible that I was wrong? Still, we must carry on and get the facts and figures. Now, you carry on to number 8, Beatrice, and I'll do number 6. I see. Same sort of house as number 2. Oh, excuse me, madam. Do you live here?
Yes, sir. Oh, you must be the man that's doing the survey.
Yes, that's correct.
You'd better come on in, sir. This way.
Is this your room? Good heavens.
It's awful, isn't it, sir? It's only just big enough to swing a cat in. All the windows are broke. I've had to stuff them in with bags to keep out the cold. That door there goes into the court where everyone puts their rubbish. Sewer runs right down the middle. Stinks something rotten.
Yes, I can smell that. Oh, have you never asked the landlord to do some repairs or to clean up the rubbish?
I don't know who he is, sir. Never comes here. I just pay my rent every day to Bert Rose. He collects all the rents round here.
Do you have any water?
Oh, sir, I can't get out much on account of my cough. It's a consumption, you know. But my boy goes to the tap at the end of the road. He's turned on for 2 hours most days.
How many of you live here?
Just me and the boy, sir. My Abe ran off and left me 2 years ago.
Abe was your husband?
No, not exactly. It was the foreman at my husband's work. My husband fell into a barrel of quicklime at the tannery and was killed. Abe moved in then.
How do you support yourself with no husband being so ill?
Begging, mostly. I rent 7 pence a day. I used to get about 5 pence. Of course, it's not very good for me to be out in the cold now, but my boy brings in the rest.
What does he do? I mean, how does he get the money?
I don't really know, sir. I don't ask. He's good to me, sir. He's a good boy.
Do you drink?
Oh, you pick on your chest.
Do you go to church?
No.
Have you ever thought of going into the workhouse?
Never, sir. I'd sooner die first. It's a dreadful place. I'd never go there.
We continued the work, and everywhere the picture seemed the same. There was poverty in all parts of London. Sometimes the work was even dangerous.
I must get home. Oh, I had no idea it was so late. I don't like the look of Parker Street at night at all. No street lights. All these dark shadows. What are those men up to?
Right, mister. Oh. Hand over your wallet or we'll cut your throat.
No, stand aside or I'll grab it.
Oi, what's going on here?
Steady there, sir. Boy, it's Mr. Boove, isn't it?
Oh, you should never walk around here alone, sir. It's much too dangerous.
Oh, those fellows have robbed me. Call the police.
Oh, bless you, sir. The police never come here. It's much too dangerous for them as well.
Here, oh, dear.
You better come at the Golden Eagle and take a brandy to steady your nerves. You've had a nasty shock.
Thank you.
Lennon? Throw some brandy here. I'm Harry Judge, by the way.
You seem a respectable man, Mr. Judge. I'm surprised at you going into a public house. Everyone around here seems to drink.
Well, you don't blame them for having a drink to drown in their sorrows now and again. Lord knows they have enough misery without taking that simple pleasure away from them. Anyway, how much do you think you can drink when you have a little money or no money? You look around you here, what do you see? You see people having a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh. All they've got at home is filth and squalor. People around here live mostly in a street or in a pub, both of which are nicer than their own homes.
Do you live round here?
Yeah, number 12. Not a bad house. I've got two rooms, quite big. I've been redecorated recently.
Surely you must pay a great rent for that.
Just 3 shillings a week. You see, my landlord is one of the few round here who actually takes an interest in his property. But he's a philanthropical sort of a gent and makes sure it's all in good repair. And of course, I've got a well-paid regular job as a bill poster. So he doesn't need to collect the rent every day. No chance of me doing a moonlight flick.
That is extraordinary, Mr. Judge. Why, everywhere I go, I hear stories of rent collected by bully boys every day.
Pick up, what's time, sir. You see that big man over there? That's Bert Rose.
Oh, yes, I've heard about him.
Well, he's got an evil temper, and he used to be a boxer. Here, Mr. Rose!
Yeah?
Come join us! This is Mr. Charles Booth, MP. He was conducting a survey about the people who live in London.
Yeah, I heard.
How do you do? I understand you work for several landlords who own property in Parker Street.
I collect rents for them. And a blooming hard job it is too. They're a bad lot round here. Forever running off without paying their dues. Stealing the furniture. Tearing up the floorboards to burn them on their fires. A number of times
I've been trying to find out why people are so poor. Now, what do you think?
Well, They're bad habits. They drink away their money. They don't save nothing. What they earn, they spend right away.
And what about the ones who are too old to work, Mr. Rose? Well, they've got nothing.
So what? They should have thought of that earlier. I can't afford to be sentimental in my job. If they can't pay, I'll throw them out. They can always go to a workhouse.
The rents seem very high, considering the state of the rooms.
Well, a pig will turn a decent room into a pigsty, Mr. Booth. Them rooms was decent once. Are that lot moving? And they smash them up.
I see. Well, thank you for the drink, Mr. Judge. I think I must be getting on my way now.
At periodic intervals, we would meet in Mr. Booth's office to compare notes and collate facts.
Well, Mr. Smith, what has your survey of the common lodging houses in Parker Street revealed?
Good and bad, Mr. Booth. As you know, the common lodging houses are very like cheap hotels for the poorest people. They can spend the night in one for about fourpence.
What are the conditions like?
They vary. The worst sleep on straw mattresses, which are not often cleaned, and the place is filthy. Many who stay in this sort of house are tramps or drunkards.
Oh, but not all are like that.
Oh, some are well run. They offer warmth and shelter. In the kitchen, people cook meals, eat and prepare their baskets of food and such like for sale and the next day. They can dry their wet clothes and the atmosphere is cheerful and friendly.
Do you see signs of immoral behaviour?
I regret to say that in the worst, there is a good deal of immoral behaviour. Men and women mix freely and drink flows. For example, at the lodging house run by Mrs. Collins, she takes in young girls and, having pretended friendship, gets them into debt. She then forces them to work for her. She's grown quite rich on this trade.
There seem to be a good many vagrants and tramps in Parker Street. If they can't afford even a lodging house, well, where else can they go?
Anywhere they can find warmth and shelter. I found tramps near the brickworks and under the railway arches. They are, of course, also attracted to Covent Garden Market, which might offer some casual work or the chance of picking up some scraps of food from the ground.
And yet many would rather live like that than go into the workhouse. It seems to me that the areas of greatest poverty are those with the highest number of casual workers who are not able to get regular jobs. Yes. The East End is very bad in this respect because with the docks and the markets, well, it is the centre for casual labour.
The great work continued for another 14 years. Thousands of people were interviewed.
I've looked after my blind sister for 6 years since my husband died of fever. I walk 5 miles to pick up washing. I only have 6 minutes a week to live on after I've paid my rent.
Of course, I'm a skilled worker, a stonemason. I may be poor, but I always make sure my kids have got decent clothes. They may be second-hand, but they're always clean and well-kept. The old house is badly built.
I do a bit of dressmaking in a little shop. Of course, the hours are long. I earn threepence a day for working 18 hours. I don't see so well now. The lighting's very bad.
Now, I don't remember how many kids I have, but I do know I've got 17 dogs. Yeah, they do make a bit of a mess. My wife? Oh, well, she sleeps in the hall. A dog's a man's best friend, they say.
I came over from Ireland 3 years ago. I work in Covent Garden. It's hard work. I do go to the pub, because where else can you have a laugh?
None of them goes to church. None of them tries to better themselves. They're all idle and good for nothing.
The evidence was put together in 17 large volumes. It was a work of vital importance. Before we began to collect the facts, no one could say with any accuracy what exactly the condition of the people of London was. No one could say how many people lived in poverty. No one knew what the real causes of poverty were. The dreadful facts were revealed by the survey. No less than one-third of the population of London lived in poverty. Charles Booth had proved Hindman wrong, but not because 25% was too many, but too few.
Mr. Booth also put forward his ideas of the causes of poverty in classes A to D. He identified two major reasons which explained why people were poor.
In my opinion, the single most important cause of poverty is lack of regular employment. Well over half the poor do not have a regular wage. They are in jobs which are seasonal or insecure. They cannot rely on regular wages.
The next most important cause was what Mr. Booth called circumstance.
About one quarter of the poor are poor simply because of their circumstances. I mean by this that they are unable to work regularly because they are old or ill. Their illnesses are made worse by the conditions in which they are forced to live. There are a certain number who are poor, well, because they are lazy or they drink.
But Mr. Booth's work showed once and for all that the vast majority of the working class were hard-working, not lazy good-for-nothings who were unwilling to work. If they were poor, it was because their circumstances were against them.
Our work also showed that poverty was found in all parts of London, not just the East End. We also found much in the poorer areas which was good, such as the music halls and even the pubs, which could provide the people with light, warmth and cheerfulness.
The size and weight of the evidence could not be ignored. The mystery was solved by scientific investigation. The argument was over. For the first time, thinking people could understand the real causes of poverty and begin to take some action to stamp it out. In 1891, I suggested that the state should help the poor by bringing in the old age pension.
Read all about it! Read all about it! Plan for old age pensions! Read all about it!
I say, Watley, just listen to what it says here in the Times. Mr. Charles Booth's paper on state pensions for the aged poor. Sickness and old age, not drunkenness, laziness and vice, are, according to Mr. Booth's figures, the chief causes of poverty in London.
Don't you rubbish, Charles. Everyone knows the poor are lazy. They drink all their money. Pensions, whatever next.
Come on, Rodney, let's go up to the West End. I'll treat you to supper at the Wits and the theatre.
Christmases are coming and the geese are getting fat. Please to put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, then a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you.
The Parker Street Investigation was produced by Elizabeth Cleaver. And that's all from BBC Education for tonight.